this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. Angels ascending and descending. What a great thing. Bringing messages in the presence of Almighty God. Talk about a super information highway. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. A ladder that linked man to God from earth to heaven. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. We look to Him tonight. Let's just believe Him. What a great atmosphere that is here tonight. The expectation, the anticipations of His people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Almighty God, we bow our hearts in your great august presence tonight. Father, we are so grateful, dear God, to feel your presence like this. To know, dear God, you've come on the scene tonight. What an assurance, what a comfort and a confidence that always brings to the heart of a believer when they can sense your nearness like that, Father. Oh, God, it causes faith to rise up in our hearts and believe you and expect to receive. Oh, God, the things that we have need of. It causes us to remember you said you shall supply every need according to your riches and glory. There is nothing too hard for you, Father. With God, there is nothing impossible. And so I pray, Lord, as your Holy Spirit would move throughout this building, all on the outside, all downstairs. It would cause hearts, oh God, to reach up and touch you as you go by, Father. It would cause your children, oh God, to release that great faith that you have locked up within them. Lord God, like that Shunammite woman, she said, it is well. Hallelujah. Something struck her, Lord. She looked beyond the circumstances because she could sense the supernatural. Oh, God, that woman is your blood broke through. Lord, every obstacle, Father, to reach out and touch you as you pass that blind Bartimaeus. Something moved within him. It stirred him, oh, God, into a channel that he knew you were passing by, this Syrophoenician woman. Oh, God, Father, she can humble herself and release that faith to touch you, Lord. Martha said, even now, Lord, hallelujah, whatever you ask of God, he will grant it to you. Let that faith be stimulated tonight. We know it is deposited in the hearts of all your believing children. And our prayer, oh God, is quickened in power. Lord God, will quicken them, Lord. Quicken the minds to your promise tonight. Stir their hearts into that channel, Father, where the Holy Spirit can just drop over in that channel. And faith can be so ignited, Lord. And the thing that they are expected to receive. Lord God, you can see it be made actual and personalized in the very own life and experience. Grant it, Lord. We thank you for your people, oh God, who have come out faithfully night after night, making the sacrifices, Lord. God, come in early and praying and wait before you. And how you blessed us, oh God. And Lord, how you bless us again tonight. Because you are the same yesterday and today and forever. Oh, hallelujah. May the sick be healed tonight, Father. May the captive be delivered, oh God. May the blinded eyes be opened. Oh God, may the weary receive rest. May the weak be strengthened tonight. Oh, may the whole church of God be drawn together. Receive such supernatural strength that they'll mount up with wings as an eagle, oh God. They'll fly off into that realm of the Holy Ghost, of the supernatural, Lord. Where the things, oh God, that you have spoken can be made real to them. Granted, dear God, even the strangers, the visitors in our gates, even them that don't know you, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, you are the one, Father, Lord God, who is able to meet every need, touch every heart, every life. I pray that your mercy would reach out to them tonight. They would see the pardoning grace of your living word flowing out to them, Lord. They'll take it applied to their heart, dear God. May you grant it tonight. They'll come to be partakers of this great grace that you've caused us to partake of and enjoy them through these years. Oh, God, may you get honor and glory in this service. May they have got you cap it off tonight. May, Lord God, you just break the bread and make yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Break it in a way that only you can break it, Father. Oh, God, where it unveils you, where it makes you personalized, where it creates faith in the hearts of your children. Granted, we ask, we give you thanks in advance for all these things, because we believe that we have received what we ask for. Remembering your promise, you said when you stand praying, Whatever you ask, believe you have received and you shall have it. So dear God, that's our confession. You are more than able to do the exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So we thank you and praise you for it in the lovely, precious, almighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. It's good for us to be here. Amen. Amen. Certainly thank the Lord again to just come into his presence and know that we are in his presence, standing on holy ground. Nothing was holy about the mountain, but when God came, then it was called the Holy Mount. Amen. And God is coming in his place, then we are holy ground tonight. Amen. Let us open up to St. Matthew 13, Revelation chapter 2. So I decided, instead I try to do anything spectacular, I just stay right where I was, just try to feed the flock. Amen. I just feel that the Holy Spirit, the last man, just came so close to us, and the word breaking forth and striking the hearts of the people. So I thought we just polish it out and make it clear. While you have the minds in one channel, just keep it here until all these things become real to them, and you know, that will always benefit the church. You know, there's so much you can speak if you want to speak at a particular time, and you know, it might just impress people that you know a whole lot, and you don't. We're not coming here to impress each other. We're coming here to worship the Lord and to receive what we have, what we have need of. And my walk in His will, come into harmony with Him. That is what we are desiring tonight, by God's grace. And you know, if our motives and our objectives are right, we have what we ask for. You know, you can feel justified in asking those things. Matthew 13. I'm going to pick up some of these parables tonight, and I'm just going to try to pick up the first four, because the first four will be sufficient, because the first four is the whole seed of it, and you're going to see and understand that a little clearer. So I'll just pick up a couple of places instead of reading up the whole four, so you know the time gets away, and I'm just looking for him to help me make good use of it tonight, and to lead me. The only way I can make good use of it is to read it. Matthew 13. Let's just pick up from verse 3. This is Jesus speaking these parables. I remember Matthew 13 is 8 parables, and we took that last night. You know, I'm just trying to refine some of the things from last night to make it a little clearer to help you tonight by God's grace. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. And you know, he goes on to talk about the other three places, among the stony places, among the thorns, and the good ground, and he tells you what happened. But I just want to get those two verses right here, because we are looking at that age of apostasy. And so I just want to pick up where he planted the seed, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them. And then let's pick up verse 18, where he explains the parable here. You know how from verse 11 to 17 we read last night, how he is saying that many prophets are desired to see these things, you see in here. And then he begins to explain it to them. And he says, therefore the parable of the sower, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. So you see who those fowls of the air was. It was the wicked one coming. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So I read what he says. The fowl coming to devour the seed. Now they saw sowed. And that was people in a state where the word is sown, and they don't understand right away. That's a dangerous time when it's not real to you. So that's why you pray for revelation, and you want to be in the channel to hear what the Spirit is saying. So it's striking faith in your heart. It's coming to you as revelation. It's not just coming to you as an understanding. Well, it lodged there and you're not sure about it. If you don't understand it, then right away it can be taken away from you. But he says that, then cometh the wicked one. And I want you to catch this. There's a sower who came and planted. There was a wicked one who came to devour what was planted. Now, we found out last night that when he was teaching these parables, it wasn't drama. These things are so accustomed to be misrepresented in the Bible that they are told like parables and Sunday school stories. So when you hear it, people say, oh yeah, I know that. That is the seed in the heart and different types of the heart and, you know, different types of heart. No. It can be applied that way, but when he was speaking it, he was beyond that. He was talking about things that were sealed up before the foundation of the world. That prophet desired to see, and we found out last night that was a space of time between his first coming and the second coming, and he told eight things that type the seven church ages and the eternal churches at the end of the seven seals. And that's how we are looking at these things, so keep that kind of focus there. Let's drop down to verse 24. This was the second parable here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. Watch this sow again, sowing seed in the field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So now we want to follow something here again. He not only devoured the seed that was planted, he sowed his own seed. You ever see something like that? You believe something, look at my child, break down all what you believe, tell you that false, that's the devil, that's the devil doctrine. You say seven times revealed, you say seven times revealed, the devil! And then they plant the old church, say, angel, this year, all kinds of different things. See? So watch and see. First, he devoured the seed that the Son of Man sowed. Then he planted his own seed after that. Watch, because these parables, remember, it's all one age. And there's only two spirits all the way through. It's not three and four spirits, there's only two spirits. The parables are just emphasizing different seasons of time. And bringing things from different aspects to better understand the two spirits in the framework of the church. Because we found out it was the church age. Is that right? The church age, there's only two spirits coming all the way through. Amen? So look how Jesus is telling them, I am planting here, but when I go, you better watch out. The enemy is going to come behind me. Why? Because every time the true anointed go forth, false anointed come behind afterwards. Who went forth first? Moses, Balaam came after. Is that right? Who went forth first? Elijah, Zedekiah came behind. Who went forth first? Jeremiah, Hananiah came behind. Who went forth first? Adam, the serpent, came behind. Who came forth first in the last days? Malachi 4. What false anointed come behind? So Jesus is teaching from the Bible. Remember, he was a prophet, he was the fullness of the word. This is not Sunday school story, he's not just dramatizing, he's opening up secrets of an age that was to come. So he's telling now he sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, see, while men slept, that is when it happened. Ephesus mean what? Amatan? When was the seed sowed? When it was relaxed. In that unguarded moment, while men slept. We can't be church that are cool off and admire itself and look around here. That's the time. See? But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat, and went his way. But, I don't want all the verses, let me make sure I do what I want. Okay. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tears also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From where then had the tears? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. See? Remember like how God wanted the serpent, why hast thou done this? Because thou hast done this. Is that right? But the seed was already planted. The enemy come and plant seed in the field, in the womb. The womb is a field. See? Why hast thou done this? See? The enemy has done this. He's telling them what has happened. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. That's why you gather up the tears, you root also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together, say, first, The ecumenical move started first, 1948. But the seven thunders came 1963 to begin to gather the bride. Gather them first. You see, I have to stress these things to let you convince you it's not real stories. The tears have to be gathered first. See? Gather together first the tears, and then bind them up in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Let's jump over to verse 36. Now I'm reading it like that because I want to make it easier for you by reading the explanation that go with the parable rather than bringing another parable. So then you will already know what it means. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent away the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tears of the field. You see, when he spoke that word, they didn't get it to clear. So they came back, they didn't say declare to us the mustard seed, but declare to us something else. They said declare to us the one, the parable of the tears of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. You see, because it bothered them. It will bother any sincere person. Why you know it has evil? Why you know the enemy do that? And why is he leave it? Why is he let it go? See? That's our purpose. You mean you see the devil come to church? You mean the devil bring people in church? You don't put on people in church? And you say leave them? Let them stay? Let them go? Let them get strong? They get them influence? You say leave them here? Have a time to deal with it? Understand God's ways? Remember, all every word reveals his person. He answered verse 37 and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world or the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age or this world. See? So he's going to play. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them who do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who are heirs to hear, let him hear. Now let's jump back now to the third parable. Now the second one, explain. Another parable, verse 31. Put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. Fourth parable here. Another parable spoke he unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I want to read back this now. Do I read last one? All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and all the parables spoken unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, if we desire to study your word tonight, help us, Lord, to come up into the realm of the Spirit and be locked in, and let everything around us be shut out, and give us the grace we can concentrate and hear by the Holy Spirit. And may, dear God, the Spirit give utterance, and may the Spirit put the emphasis in the right places. May the word be ministered with clarity, dear God. May it unfold in such a divine continuity that it will make plain, dear God, Father, the thoughts that you desire to reveal to us tonight, that the scriptures can become alive, that the mystery can, that requires the teaching of the Spirit can be taught by the Spirit. And dear God, that it will benefit us and help us to clearly understand the hour, giving us the spiritual discernment that we have need of. And may our senses be so exercised we can discern good from evil. granted, dear God, for he said it was possible if the elect would be deceived. But dear God, this is the hour, Father, when in the hearts of the elect that faith has been perfected, that they can live by the faith of the Son of God. So may, dear God, we sit in your presence, and may that faith be ripened tonight, Father. Grant it, Lord, and may be perfected, for we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Have a seat. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Now, you know these things, you have to really hold the word in your heart. It's deep things, and I will need every bit of concentration for my own self and you for yourself to even try to speak it. And we are just trusting that God will give us that measure of grace that we need to help make these things clear to you by God's grace. So let us turn to Revelation chapter 2. To compare that, because I told you those parables type the ages. Just like seven parables type seven church ages, and then the eight parables type Revelation 10, which is the eternal church here again in seven seals. So I'm comparing them for you tonight so you can see clearly and understand better that those secrets that was hid before the foundation of the world is in the church ages. Because out of the church ages come the seals. Out of the seals come the trumpets. Out of the trumpets come the vials. When seven thunders begin to utter its voices, it's going to make known the mysteries contained in the seven seals. And the seven seals pertained to the seven church ages because it was breaking down through seven church ages. There was a history that was lived out. After the history is made, he comes along and reveals what he did, shows how he done it. Amen. That's why when the seven thunders of his voices, the mystery that unfolded through seven church ages is made plain. Amen. So I'm proving that to you tonight here by the word to show you how Jesus spoke these parables in Matthew 13 in word form, give it over here in seed form in seven church ages, put it over in symbol form in under the seven seals. So you're going to see how these things are, and these things come from Genesis all the way through the book. So it's going to help give you faith in the message that has been given by a prophet, and going to help you to understand what time we are living in and what is happening. And when you look at the things around about you, then you see it through the eyes of the Word. Because Jesus is calling all these churches tears. He's calling them children of the wicked one. He's saying the devil sown them. God didn't plant them. And every tree my heavenly Father didn't plant, he going to root up at the end. And there's a time to plant, and there's a time to pluck up that was planted. You know what I'm saying? So that's why when you hear a world event during a quarter with except Trinidadian, that is why the book was open to tell you we are at the end of the age. When you look with spiritual understanding. And then the message comes for to say how to look. And when you look, what do you see? Yeah. Amen? Okay. Let's study now. Revelation 2 verse 4. Now I'm picking places here. In the first age, I'm just to trace that thing, because what did we see in the four parables? From the fowl in the air picking the seed out to the woman leavening the three measures of meal. Alright? That's what we are looking at. From the fowls in the air, we are tracing that spirit that makes the people apostate and bring them into total apostasy, total blackout that is in the children of disobedience. There's only two children in the New Testament. Children of obedience, children of disobedience. Wheat and tares. Children of wrath, who are pointed at the wrath. Children of salvation, who are pointed to obtain salvation. Complete full redemption. Amen? So watch and see how these things are. So let's take the first four ages, and we're going to pick the places there to trace that spirit over here, because that those same parables is pertaining to this time. And more you will see it does pertain to the time of the seven church ages. And remember, I will have to keep moving back and forth because seven church ages is Feast of Pentecost. So when I'm saying Feast of Pentecost, I'm not saying something else. When I'm saying seven church ages, I'm not saying something else. When I'm saying eight parables of Matthew 13, it's all one in the same space of time I'm talking about. It's the seven church ages right here. It's the last 2,000 years. The history of the church. Amen? Okay. So I kind of give you this point to help focus your mind to understand, and you'll be able to relate to what is being spoken to you. All right, let's take that now, verse 4. This was the message to the Ephesian age. Not necessarily Ephesian church, but the entire age was represented in this little church. But this church had the characteristics of the first age. And that first age was from AD 53 to 170. It's put at AD 53, 20 years after Calvary, when Paul made his first missionary journey. That's why it's put at AD 53. Because that's when Paul made his missionary journey, being the messenger of the age. He does his feet, lo, now we turn to the Gentiles. So let's go right into verse 4. The Holy Spirit giving the revelation to John. The eyes of Patmos here. And told him to write what he saw and heard. And then look at the voice of the Spirit speaking out here in verse 4. After he complimented the church, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Yes. Remember therefore from where thou art fallen. We took that the first night. 2 Corinthians 11, as the serpent beguiled Eve, Paul was saying, so do these corrupt your minds from the simplicity. Is that right? Yes. And I showed her where the children being seduced. Then she what? Fair. She became a fallen woman. In the last days, she brought forth the devil incarnate. And a whole bunch of children of disobedience who is worshipping the devil. And they are claiming to be the church. That is the systems God called us out of. Who it was? Serpent seed worshipping the devil. They abandoned the faith, but they didn't abandon the outward profession. What does apostasy mean? The abandonment of the faith, but not the abandonment of the outward profession. They have a form of godliness. God tell them, multiply and hire feed them. Don't come back in the office if you got to come up with the next child. Fine cultured man. Yes. Have a nice and wicked. Yes. Have even the brass serpent. Yes. And the pole. Yes. The medical symbol on his motor car. Yes. Is that right? Yes. Yes, but even a Christian is a serpent seed.
Right.
Outside there. When it comes against the word of God like that. When it tries to destroy your faith in obeying the word of God. Fine cultured man, but consider faith a reprobate. He goes to church too, and he sits down there after he play Mass Carnival Tuesday, and he go and get ashes Ash Wednesday. And he tell you, I'm religious too, but I ain't a fanatic like you. And then he socializes with the mayor. Yes. And he's in the Lions Club and they help fix the road and get place of unwed mothers and so on. You understand? Yes. But the reprobate can send the faith. Yes. When he was prophet, he's not a cult. Yes. See? Yes. I just give him that to come home to you. So he can come home to you in reality. Yes. And know that the word, we can't even our own understanding. It's not when you look out there what you think. By the fruits you shall know them.
Amen.
Have good doctors too. Nice doctors that believe in the Lord. Say, Doc, you know, I want to pray about this. Say, go ahead. Well, he said, I know I need a man who can help set your bone. I can only stitch it. God to help you. I ain't God. But then that the other kind of say, we are to play God, you know. Have that kind too. Luke was a doctor. Remember, Luke was a doctor.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen? So verse 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Remember, from where you are, thou art fallen. It became a fallen woman. She had been seduced in 2 Corinthians 11, but now she's a fallen woman. She is pregnant. She didn't hold her virtue sacred. She fell. She's carrying a baby that is not for her husband in her womb. She started to bring forth children under bondage. She will start to bring forth children who will fight the true ones. Like Cain fought Abel. But she's the church. Is that right?
Yeah.
She's the church. But she didn't hold her virtue sacred. Just like Eve did.
If you remember from where thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, so I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy lampstand out of its place, except thou repent. See how God is firm in that repentance? He said, I'll leave you in darkness if you don't repent. I'll move the lampstand. The lampstand was the messenger of the age, the pastor of the church, giving light to the church. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. They had it, and they're already fighting with it in the womb of the church. Just like Cain, Esau and Jacob were fighting in the womb, they already had it in the womb, and there's a fight in the womb going on already. Let's move on from that to verse 9, that the first age. In the first age, what we have? The deeds of the Nicolaitans. What we had in the first parable? The fowl of the air coming to devour the seed. What was the deeds of the Nicolaitans? It started off as sayings. Started off as sayings. While men slip in the unguarded moment. Ephesus mean what? Amos and relax. But now she's pregnant. In the unguarded moment, the seed was planted in the field. You see how they compare together? That first parable in Matthew 13 and this first age here? Now watch, let's go on and see how it unfolds and matures. Because it shows the advancement of that spirit as it grows and matures in the church. Verse 9. To the second age, which is from verse 8 to 11, but we just begin out verse 9. Verse 8 to 11 is the Smyrna church age. That was from 170 to 312. That whole space of time there, and that ties into your second parable. And look how verse 9, we just want to pick this verse. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich, complimenting them, the true vine. I know the blasphemy of them who say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. The false vine. Two vines in the church right there now. Amen? Let's go. Go on. But the rest tells them about they have to go in the prison and so on. Verse 14. From verse 12 all the way to verse 17 is the Pergamos age. How many know what Pergamos means? Married. What did Simona mean? Bitterness. Amen? Last night I showed you from Genesis 2 to Genesis 18, I showed you seven church ages. See? Show you seven churches in Matthew 13. And now we're looking at it here in Revelation. It's all the same, one revelation, but given out in different ways. Let's take verse 14. He's speaking to that church after he complimented them and tell them he knew their works and so on, and he complimented, give honor to his faithful martyr Antipas. Now verse 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now what's something here? And this is important. Why is it important? Because he's not talking about the way of Balaam and the error of Balaam. He's talking about the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam came after the way of Balaam and the error of Balaam. In other words, this thing that started off as the way of Balaam, that went as the error of Balaam. In the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter says some have gone in the way of Balaam. What was the way of Balaam? He tried to make a market for his gift. See, I can pray about this when he about money and position and power and influence. What was men doing in the church? Preaching for money. Trying to get influence. Trying to work up in the politics. You just want them denominational preachers in? Yeah. Oh, they want to get in the politics. They want to get up there. They want to kind of make themselves there. Yeah. They want to get up all them unconverted lawyers and everything else. See? They want to socialize in the upper stratosphere of society. Because they think that that is what God wants. They want to respect every man that comes to church with a nice big job and a big tight pair. And then they push the old widow aside, and they push the old lady aside, and the poor person aside, and the unemployed who can't dress nice like them and drive a good car like them, they push them aside. Because they want to make these people feel welcome. They want to make these people feel, let them have influence in the church. See? That exact thing was going on back here. So now the Jude said they went in the era of Balaam. What was the era of Balaam? Anybody knows? He tried to curse what God blessed. He never understood justification. He never saw that atonement, he was accepted in that atonement before God. He saw the moral acts of the people and he cursed them because of the immorality. But he failed to see that they were the elected, called out, predestinated church in journey to our promise under our prophet's message. Justified by God. And then the doctrine of Balaam was to destroy the originality of the race by hybriding them. We were talking about last night, like in Bosnia and all them places there, like how Cain with Eve went to the serpent rather, hybridization. So watch here. They had that doctrine of Balaam in the church. Pergamos mean what? Married. What did Balaam do? Marry Israel and Moab. What is the marriage? Religion and politics. What is that? Two different species. What is mingling two different kind of seed? Hybridization. What does that do? Kill the life that can never cross back to originality. Because it lose the original species, the original characteristic in hybridization. It opens up itself now to every kind of disease. It loses the immunity that lays in the originality. Why you have to spray and baby a hybrid plant? Why? Because hybridization, it loses the immunity. Why do you have to spray and baby an original plant? Because being original, the life not tampered with. It have a repellent to throw off everything. Amen?
Amen.
Who want to be baby tonight? That's a sign we have a lot of original people here. It's good to know you have we sing it last night, the original life, and we are shouting and rocking in the spirit and everything else. The original seed, the original word. Well, that's what it is. Thank God we don't have hybrid babies here. How does God have hybrid babies? By the hairstyle, by the fashion, by the speech, by the desire, what they're craving for. Is that right? Thank God everybody look clean and nice inside of here. Look real sweet, dressed neat and everything. Look like real Christians by God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I can't see them outside, but they can see me. So I know if you have any outside or any downstairs, then they hear the word too. Amen? Praise His wonderful name. I don't want to make them feel left out. I just want them to feel right here in the service. So let's study again. After the doctrine of Balaam, let's pick up verse 15 now. Next verse. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So in this third age, watch what's in the tree now. What's the different kind of fowls in the tree? Nicolaitan fowls? Balaam fowls? All them roosting in the tree now. They're becoming a habitation of devils. What's that third parable? The mustard seed. So they're going to that tree and all they fall to the air. The one that was devouring the seed first. Now they entrench themselves in the tree. See? But look at God. He said, repent or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Let's go on to verse 20 now. Fourth age. Fourth parable is what? A woman hiding leaven in 3 measures of meal. And I told her last night, where do we get meal from? Wheat. The seed that we sow. What did Ruth take the wheat when the reaper dropped in the field and do? She went to and make a loaf of bread. Who is the corn of wheat? Christ. Who is the bread of life? Christ. Amen? Now, verse 20. He's speaking to this fourth age. Thyatira. How many know what it means? Dominant female. We have so much women here, everyone afraid to say it. Amen. All the little Rebecca's and Mary should have jumped and said, dominant female! Because why? They know they're already in submission. By God's grace. Amen. See? Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. And he's getting on to what you have against the church now. And if he had you are against something in any church, he's still against tonight. If he complimented something in a church, he's still complimented tonight. Is that right? Because he's only restoring his original planting back to original seed. He's not planting a new church.
Amen.
He's restoring back the bright tree. Is that right? Amen. So look, fourth parable. Let's see if you have a woman here who mixes up all kind of leaven. And you know what leaven is in the Bible? False doctrine. Because the wheat was unleavened bread. Is that right? That was the bread. Unleavened bread. That's Christ. Did my body just be broken for you? But she said, I put leaven inside it, and a little leaven do what? Leaven the whole lump. All right, now watch. Verse 20, fourth parable. Think of them together. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. She's teaching. She's bringing up her own little doctrines to teach and to seduce. She has some evil intent in her teaching. Is to seduce them. She was hiding that. She wasn't doing it openly. She was hiding the leaven in the meal. See? Hiding the leaven in the meal. To seduce my servant to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What it is? Her teaching she was giving out. Her pagan teaching. They were partaking of a perverted word. She's seducing them and teaching them idolatry. False worship. Mass. Novena. She's teaching them these things. She's still talking about Jesus. But she take away his deity and make him a little child. She elevates Mary with the teaching. Is that right? What she's doing? She leavened the meal. She's changing the truth into a lie. And what happens when you take a seed that God made to be a sheep and you cross it with a goat? You know what scientists call it? A jeep. These are great learned people. They study what are called biotechnology. You know what that is? Manipulating the genetic code upon which God has brought his creation into existence. Amen. They're altering genes. Dollarization, they call it in politics. In Trinidad. The word is real, eh? Oh yeah, study and get deep now. And then you understand, Brother Brown say, you get a Catholic who come out and become a Jehovah's Witness. Spend a time in Seventh-day Adventist, and then come in the message. And they doubt all of things, but accept the new teaching too. You know the renegade you have on your hand? When you get problems with certain people in the message, you gotta stop. And try to trace them and find out where they come from. Don't let me want to admit and confess the condition. When you start to see some of the roots and the influence, the doctrine that maybe the parents had who raised them, think that in the subconscious mind from small, certain things exposed in the home, certain things in school, different things, and you trace them up, then you know what you have there. Remember in the Old Testament, a bastard didn't come in the congregation for 400 years. How many know that? Who was the first bastard in the Bible? Cain. A cross, a bastard, is an illegitimate child. Child being born. A bastard is not like what we call a woman have a baby for a man that she got married and she have the four to get married. That's not a bastard. A bastard is when a man married to a woman and another man come in while these two people are in a marriage covenant and this one get pregnant and have a child. Like Eve. She was married to Adam. Serpent come in, she get pregnant. She crossed the boundary of a marriage vow. She went into a legitimate relationship. See? She received seed of another man while she covenant for one man who the womb belonged to by virtue of the marriage. Remember when that man, Egyptian, whom Moses killed? The history says it was a man who killed a woman's husband and raped the woman. And it was the same man, the child from Dan, who wanted to pitch his tent in the camp of Dan among the Israelites. I wonder what he's going to do because his mother was an Israelite, my father was an Egyptian. And they stop and say, you can't pitch that tent here. Look here! Why? Because where you camp had to do it inheritance, had to do it position revealed, reflected what was in heaven, had to reveal your future place over in eternity. Exactly. It was a mystery. And so they had to take him and lock up and stone him and kill him afterwards. See? He's a bastard. So what was happening in the church now? The church that was claiming to marry to Jesus Christ, now the spouse of Christ, was not married to politics. Polygamous was married. And now they had Cedar Balaam inside, bringing forth his little Balaamite business, had the other one, then from Pergamos, it committed Tyatira. And the dominant female, and she set up as the teacher, and she said, I give out a false teaching. And do what? Take them into idolatry. What is idolatry? Fornication. Because idolatry, God says, you shall have no other gods with me, and God and his people, who he gave the commandment to, is in covenant. And covenant is like a marriage. And when she goes and worship other gods, and these adults have no other god but me, then a spirit of jealousy comes in God. When that spirit of jealousy comes in God, then the wife has to go through the test to see if she commits adultery. That's a purity. And if she had committed adultery, after they mix up that water with the dirt and different things, God gave Moses, I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm going to go for a while. God gave Moses, before he had a lie detector, modern lie detector, Moses. You see, God make up the human body in a, David said, we are wonderfully made. When a woman blushing, all the blood is run to your face. When a person gets scared, the face gets white, all the blood leaves the face. See? Why? When a person goes through certain emotions, see? Like you come home and you're hungry. Oh, boy. And you know your wife is making your favorite chicken stew or something, and you're coming to the kitchen and you're all beginning to smell it. You ain't washed up yet and get ready to go to the table, but your mouth's at the water. Why? A chemical reaction takes place in the body. It's the chemistry of the body. See? And that's why you find that Moses, when he gives him this to drink, you see, a man wasn't made to tell a lie. Man wasn't made to have fear. See? That's why doctors say that medicine is a good thing. Laughing is a good medicine. When you laugh and you get happy. See? What it do? It causes certain chemicals to secrete in your body that work kind of stress and different things. That people worry. They get cancer and different things too. Because it sets new chemical reactions in the body. See? So, when a person tell a lie, then when they are questioned on the oath, see, then what would happen if they're lying, it would cause some chemicals to be released from the body. And when they drink that, it will form a poison and kill them. But if they drink that and those chemicals are not released, then what's going to happen? It don't do them nothing. See? And today in modern science now, well, they have what we call the polygraph test. The modern lie detector. Well, the reason that it has gone different on the graph to show the person lying and the inconsistent and what they say. Don't they try to tell that lie as innocent? I didn't do that. They're against me. I don't know why. I'm from such a small everybody against me. See? You might fool a lot of people, but that thing is really sitting off your subconscious mind. And I'm going to show you lie. See? Why? Because man wasn't made to tell a lie. There's a reaction in the human being from a time to tell a lie. Remember the problem when Danny Henry went in the presence of the light? He said, you ever steal? No? Oh, yeah, steal. What he thought wasn't lie, what he thought wasn't steal and share the deal, all is in a calm. Under that. So, fornication is idolatry. And that is something punishable by death. And this woman was teaching them, seducing them to commit fornication against God. She was carrying them into spirit worship. All kind of worship saints. She was carrying them into all kind of purgatory. She was walking them in so many different places, taking glory away from Jesus Christ and making many other mediators when the Bible says there's only one mediator. She was changing the truth into a lie and then feeding it to them. You understand that? Okay, that's what the woman was doing. Jesus was telling that in Matthew 13. So look at verse 21 now. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. See? God will never judge a person. Your sin could be as bad as it is. You don't judge it right away. He give you a space to repent. Remember when the watchers in the time of Daniel? When Daniel had, when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that this big tree, and they said, cut it down. And then Daniel tells him, he said, you is the tree, you know. Your case try in heaven, and the verdict come to you as a dream. It already decided in heaven, but if you repent, the court might show mercy. And he had a time to repent, and didn't repent. And after 12 months ran out, he was still saying, walking and saying, I, Nebuchadnezzar, have built this Babylon. And the very same hour the Bible says, the judgment that was decided upon the court was executed. There's no leniency from the court there. Every man or woman in life is good through that. It is good through on a human individual level, on a family level, on a church level, on a national level, on a global level. That is God's judicial process of dealing with people. You don't judge a man without warning him. You give a man a space to repent. Am I telling last time about how apostasy is not just error? An abandonment is actually a rebellion, a child of disobedience. Disobedience to the revealed word. Cain refusing to receive correction. Disobedient to the revealed word. The vindicated truth. That is important. Because you got a space to repent. Now, why do we have someone in church and hear message and hear things and go through? No. While that word is going forth and you are making a decision, you are buckling up on your ways, your time is running out. And the same thing I decided in that court there is going to drop down. Exactly right. Look. Verse 22. Look at God saying, give her space to repent. And she repented not. And look what's going to happen. Behold, I will cast her into her bed. And them that commit adultery with her unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. Isn't that strong words? In other words, she get them think they eat sacrifice unto idols. And kill them spiritually. And God said, because she killed them, I will kill her to a death. She brought false doctrine, and she killed them with false doctrine and hold them spiritually dead in an organizational grave. He says, so I will come back dead for death. See? And all the churches shall know, even this one here, shall know that I am he who searcheth the minds and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I see, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of... Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Get the verse you wanted. Start of a saint. First age. He said you have the deeds and the Nicolaitans. Next age, he said you have the synagogue of Satan. Next age, he said you have the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of Nicolaitans. Next age, you have that woman Jezebel. And that is the depth of Satan when they get there. And that means what? Dominant female. That age was what? The dark age. That is the age of total apostasy. What is the apostasy in the last days? It's a repeat of that age coming back. That age, it took a Pergamos to bring a Thyatira. It took religion and politics, church and state to marry, to give full dominion to the Catholic Church that you can kill and devour and do what you want and enforce a religion on everybody. What is coming back here? Church and state to marry again. To do what? Give Jezebel full control. What happened back in the time of Elijah in the book of Kings? When Ahab and Jezebel marry? Is that right? She destroyed the nation! And force a religion. Elijah came at the evening sacrifice, repaired the altar, turned the hearts of the children back to their fathers. How much of it was? Only 7,000 under that seal. Amen. Who didn't bow down that knee? second war, the third war. And he did when Elijah prophecies coming to pass. When Micaiah caught a seven seal vision. Amen.
Amen!
You find out if it's not a seven seal vision all these years. See? We'll tie that word perfect together. Because none of man is of God.
Amen.
It was promised under the message to come. She under her messenger will be the final voice.
Yeah.
Not no one man's scripture. A little good wife will be shepherds. They will find the Messiah.
Yeah.
You will find them out in some big cities out there with all these politicians and the message running around the place trying to promote their own self and these things. No, sir. They will find them in Bethlehem.
Amen.
In a manger. Yeah. Hidden from the wisest theologians.
Amen.
Amen. The depths of Satan. He said, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. He's pointing them to his coming. Which is his coming is we are living the hour of his coming. But watch something. Those four I want you to see. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 6 and get the seals now. And we'll take the first two seals because the lion, the first seal, was Paul, Venus, and Martin. And then the next seal, Columba, the ox. Is that right? That where the church went and martyred them in the dark ages. That's the first two seals. So the first four church ages is those first two seals. So we get the four parables in Matthew 13, four churches in Revelation 2, and the first two seals, and that's the seed. You say, how come? We got Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, and stalk, tassel, and shock coming back out of the ground. Is three stages of what? Restoration. To bring back what was there in the seed. Amen? Oh, the word is too wonderful. Revelation 6. Now the church ages was the space of time between his first coming and his second coming. The Bible is called the fullness of the Gentiles. Don't mix up the times of the Gentiles. Times of the Gentiles, Israel will be trodden down until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. That is when dominion was taken from Israel and went to the Gentiles and Nebuchadnezzar took him to captivity and that was the beginning of Gentile dominion over Israel from the head of gold all the way back until the kingdom of the God of heaven is set up in the last days. Then the throne of David come back. Then the son of David is going to come up in the throne. Then Christ will set up the kingdom in the millennium. So from that time, Nebuchadnezzar time, right down, Israel is still under Gentile dominion. You have Mr. Clinton in the White House. Could put pressure and tell Benjamin Netanyahu and Yasser Arafat, come up here for a summit. And Yasser Arafat decided to go and get Hosni Mubarak and says, come with me because I don't want to put pressure on me up there. So when you get up there, we can really have some weight to balance off this thing here. See, you know, I don't trust them fellas up in America. And so they got up there. See, Israel, still in the Gentile dominion. Put pressure and say, no, who you getting a lot of your aid from? We can freeze all our money in the States, in Wall Street. If you want, behave all yourself. See? But I don't mean political realm. Don't get confused with political Israel. God has nothing to do with political Israel. The real promise at the last half of the 70th week is spiritual Israel. 144,000 election, a remnant according to the election of grace, and they have prophets, eagle anointing coming to them. Amen?
Amen?
There are millions of Jews right now, but only 140,000 coming out. 12,000 of the 12 tribes. So let's get that clear. The beast is not making a covenant with 140,000. The beast is making a covenant with political Israel. But because, just like we in this nation, the prime minister gone and signed more stuff again, and come back and blow a little political trumpet, like the little one. Yeah, is everybody happy?
Yeah.
Oi. He said, I asked the United States, the DA, to come and establish your presence here now. We give you our water, we give you our airspace. You know, we bring our whole thing under you. Now come and bring your presence here. I'll tell you. See, you sit and you watch it every day. America is Revelation 13. That's an image that's raised up there, a beast that's raised up there, but it's speaking with the voice of the dragon in Rome. It's a Vatican-Washington alliance. It's a marriage with Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab, this ACS, Associated Caribbean States, in the CBI, the Caribbean Basin Initiative, these people inside are here that they're having the influence over. Understand that this is like little parcels of land. Trinidad is a little parcel, a little vineyard. Grenada, a little orchard. You know what I'm saying? And Ahab said, I want this vineyard. I want this orchard. I want this here. I'm going to bring my fertilizer. I'll bring my big boys for dinner and so on down here. We walk here. We lie down on the beaches and so on. We eat some calypso chicken. You know what I'm saying? Sure. And they do that. They got a little parcel of land. And then all these little, it's like a big vice region over a lot of small states. So they say, okay, we're going to leave you in charge. We're going to back up your party. But speak good for us down here. We don't show you over here, but they play bad. We said, I took out your investment and freeze everything and you're in trouble. We don't even have to commit gun and tank and bomb, you know, for you. We just freeze loans. We just put sanctions. And then we say, I get problems. The economy going chaos, they're kicking you out. And vote in the next government. And we'll treat them nice. So behave yourself. Yes, boss. So it's what's happening. But when Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard, he said, not this one. You know why? He had backbone. He was watching the world. He was watching his father's inheritance. He was watching boundaries and certain things. And he died for it. Because Ahab is going to take it. If you have to kill it and get it, with that Jezebel behind him, they're going to take it. So understand what we call all this ACS and CARICOM and this and markets and all this kind of thing. These are just little, like small landowners, little parcels of land that the U.S. want for their own purposes, and they already have, and they have under control. And when you have a prime minister, a president, or government, something, it's only a puppet government. Nobody can make no decision. They have to make decision with. They can make small decision within the range. In other words, make sure every week you bring up $10,000. So, well, I could buy a sweet drink when I get thirsty sometimes. I have a petty cash that is on, so you can spend out of that, but make sure that never go down to a certain amount. Because I'm going to check the books afterwards. You understand what I'm saying? So you're making small decisions, but then you're going to make a big one. You can make a decision to go in any direction you want in the region. Who you going to trade with? Who you going to get technological assistance from? Who you going to get backed by the World Bank and the IMF? Who are you going to get foreign investors from? Where? Sure, exactly right. So when you look and you see the stage and the situation that is there, then you want to know, look, what is happening, all these little parcels of land, all these little landowners, all these little things that is taking place, it is a power that has already taken this whole region under control. And here it's taking a shape according to an image that is projected to them. They say, your new place in the new society will be here. So start getting your act together. Start getting your systems where they're lined up and so on. And you know, you're hearing it sounded ever so often now. All the U.S. is really rating us high for how we deal with the drug situation. They don't deal with no drug situation. U.S. is so high for dealing with drug situation. Mystery, every abomination the earth drug. Oh, I don't want to get fighting. I can't do all this. Pharmacia. All is that money laundering. Half of what it will be. You see, the biggest money launderer is the Catholic Church. And you watch the new laws coming in? Season property, season money,
yeah,
season
business.
Yeah. See, Tommy? I keep telling you, watch the anointing and the attention. Watch the laws, the order changing laws. Look at the laws for the times. That's why you see, we have meetings like this. We come here, we get the word. We get under the prophetic utterance. We start to look at the thing and examine what God says. And then we start to have faith now. Let every man word be a lie, and let my word be the truth.
Yeah.
Let the Guardian, the Express, the Newsweek, the Bomb, the Mirror, let the word be a lie. But let my word and my prophet be nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Let Time Magazine, Newsweek, Life, everything be a lie. And let this word here be the truth.
Yeah.
Sure. But the media, the fourth dimension, is the key that was given to Satan from the bottomless pit.
Yeah.
It's a key of knowledge. A key of science that was able to open up that, to contact that dimension, to locate the dimension.
Yeah.
Didn't the prophet say television was here when Adam was here?
Yeah.
Television was here when Elijah was on Mount Carmel?
Yeah.
He said, but what? They recently what? Located.
Yeah.
It's given to them to locate. The key was given to him. Power is given to him to make holy saints. It's given to him to control all trade companies. It's given to him. Why? Because the same was given to him to open a door to the human race, so God could be with a savior. Well, all this is given to him so God could come as judge and pour the vials. It's given to him. Nothing going wrong. Think something going wrong? Nothing going wrong. Right the time of the word. Everything is perfect. See? It's given, seven seals is given to us too. The full seven seal mystery is given to the undenominational bride. What for? To go into heaven. To show how to prepare for translation faith. To change dimensions. Amen! Change his body and change dimensions after. He's given to us too. A key to the door. Faith! To open it after going to the headstone. A key is given to us too. That can bind that devil that is given that key. Is that right? Sure. There's not no big bad devil here. Who can tame that legion? Amen. Did an angel come down with a chain that could bind him? Did an angel standing there down at the Jordan when that mamba was running? And he said, you can bind him or the wolves of him. An angel that could bind the serpent. Revelation 20. Paradox 61. An angel that could bind him. Sure. If you don't have the key to bind them in your house, you might be able to do global binding. You might be like a Pentecostal who to bind every devil in Trinidad from the radio station. I bind all these demons and take the country for Jesus. Say, brother, we have something more than adoption here. What is that? Strong delusion to believe the lie. It's his kingdom to begin with. Jesus didn't even want it. Is that right? Oh my. But God give you a plot of ground inside your house. When demon powers want to come in and invade that, you are the one standing at the door. The high priest of the home, the shepherd in the home. And that don't come to the door, it's a rubber and a thief in your house. It'll come right through you first, we're getting into your house. Amen! Glory! Stand here. Why, you have authority, you have jurisdiction. Yeah. Why, the Son of God. God give you dominion. Adam had it in the sea, but you have it in where God placed you. And every Son of God have where God placed him. And so the bride of Jesus Christ has dominion. It lays in the bride. But when you want to go and run and take over the whole of San Fernando, and then you can have power over these elements here. You don't have power over those elements in the sky. Control these elements, these 16 elements. Power over these 16 elements. We give power over the prince of the power of the air. Amen? Oh, I'm wasting time. Let me just get out here. Right. See, I want you to see, friends. It's something that the Holy Spirit is uncovering here in the South. All these services we are here is part of the preparation. Revelation 6, verse 1. This is sealed now. We took first four parables, Matthew 13. Now we took first four church ages. We compared them together. They compare perfectly. Now we are taking the first two seals to compare because those four churches, those four problems is tied to these two seals. So now we are getting a picture here as to the whole seed. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now watch how perfect it is. In the first age, you had what? The deeds of the Nicolaitans. What does Nicolaitan mean? Nico is to conquer. Leos is laity. To conquer the laity. Then later on they had the doctrine of Balaam. How many know what Balaam means? You know what Nicolaitan means? You know what Balaam means? Baal, B-A-L-A-A-M. Baal is destruction. Am is the people. What does the name mean? To destroy the people. Conquer the people and destroy the people. You mean man preaching and saying, yeah, God said, was conquering the people? Oh, God love you, honey. Don't you think of God as some mean, narrow-minded, bigoted person? You're God's daughter. What, God will vex for a little fun? Amen, you see? Oh yeah, conquering her mind. Then planting the seed of ruination. While she got relaxed. While men slept. Plant the seed. Then, Nicolaitans went for to conquer and to conquer. And then what? A crown was given to him. Oh my, what's the next seal now? And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature. Notice the first seal, first living creature made an announcement. Second seal, second living creature made an announcement. What happened? An announcement is made in the heaven. A seal opens. A mystery unfolds. Amen. That's the pattern right here in Revelation 6. An announcement. A beast coming forth making the announcement. Why? Because the seal is open. Then a seal opens. Then a mystery. Under the seal, a white horse. But it's in symbol form, not fully revealed. Amen? Amen. It's going to be revealed in the last days according to Revelation 10:7. The history is going to remain known. Leave it. Let it grow. Let him ride. Let him conquer. Let him take over. In the last days I'll come riding too. Hallelujah! On a white horse and a military prance, amen. And a voice of thunder will fall that thing.